in here to talk about those crazy antics of the hijinks of those kids down in D.C. We've got our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick, with us. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Celeste.
A little bit of political irony here, because as people may remember, the White House did not nominate Elizabeth Warren to head up the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, partly because they knew that there would be a lot of objections from Republicans during her confirmation, right?
That's correct.
So they chose somebody else to head up the CFPB. And now what's happened?
Well, his name is Richard Cordray. He's a former attorney general of Ohio. He gets a vote today in the Senate, and he'll be blocked, Celeste, by Republicans. This agency is supposed to police banks on behalf of consumers, you know, credit practices, home loans, fees, car loans. Republicans don't have a problem with Cordray. They have a problem with the agency. They say they will block any nominee until this place is reformed, until it's a board, not a person, and until Congress gets direct control over the CFPB's funding. So expect Cordray to be blocked today. Republicans say it's not about him. It's about an agency gone amok.
They're trying to fix the law that's already been passed and signed.
That's right.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. But let's talk about the 2012 elections. And Newt Gingrich was actually in Washington yesterday for a forum, also a fundraiser there. Obviously, Newt has been controversial for a very long period of time. And that is actually extending to his own party, right?
Yeah, it is. Newt Gingrich was always controversial when he became speaker in 1995. Listen to Tom Coburn here from Fox News Sunday. Coburn's a senator now, but he was elected to the House in the Gingrich Revolution in 1994, the one that led to the confrontations with Bill Clinton over impeachment and the government shutdown. Now listen to Coburn now, a former Gingrich foot soldier.
There's a lot of candidates out there. I'm not inclined to be a supporter of Newt Gingrich's, having served under him for 4 years and experienced personally his leadership.
Why is that?
Because I found it lacking.
Now, Coburn wouldn't really elaborate there. So I went to talk to some of Newt Gingrich's veterans to see what they thought. Here's Dan Lundgren. He's a conservative congressman from California. He came to the House with Newt in 1979. He says Newt deserves credit and was a visionary leader for the GOP.
He's the one who brought us to majority status for the first time in two generations. He's the one who believed that it could be done when virtually no one else believed that to be the case. He worked at it. He tactically and strategically designed the campaign to do that, and we were successful.
Okay, so that's two different views of it. I mean, is it split relatively evenly? This is kind of an old guard, new guard thing?
Well, it's not necessarily old guard, new guard. One of the things that a lot of people are saying, and that Dan Lundgren even agreed with, was that it wasn't that Newt didn't have vision. He has plenty of vision. He had great ideas, but that he lacked focus and lacked follow through. And even Lundgren, Newt's buddy, agreed with that. Listen to Steve LaTourette now. He's from Ohio, Republican, came to Congress in the Gingrich Revolution in 1995. He says that the Newt of 95 left his soldiers sometimes on their own, wondering how to fulfill Newt's orders.
I mean, the one example during the government shutdown with 1995, battling with President Clinton, he gathered our press secretaries together and told him we would win the battle with the president if we just urged every reporter that we talked to go into the rotunda and read the Magna Carta. And you say, really? I mean, so I mean that kind of stuff, that doesn't make any sense to me, and it didn't then and still doesn't now.
Now, Steve LaTourette tells another story.
Wait, he wanted them to go and read the Magna Carta?
According to Steve LaTourette, that's exactly what Newt ordered the press secretaries to do.
I remember that.
Yeah, you might remember him talking about it. Yeah. Now, LaTourette tells another story of how Gingrich recruited him to spearhead a credit union bill back in the 90s. The banks hated this bill. They threatened LaTourette with retaliation, said, you'll never have another friend in this town, you're finished. LaTourette, in the end, got the bill passed with over 400 votes. So he said Newt had the vision to pass the bill, but that LaTourette never got any of the credit he expected or was promised or deserved.
It was nice he entrusted me with it. But I will tell you, I still, 18 years later, don't think he knows who I am.
Well, you know, I mean, I got to say, Gingrich, I believe at one point says, I'd rather be effective representing the American people than popular inside Washington. So maybe he doesn't care.
Absolutely. And you can see the sequelae, the consequences of that today in Congress. It doesn't count for much, but you might want to go through and just count how many members of Congress
have you
have
done
endorsed.
That already, Todd?
I have. Mitt Romney has the support as of today of 56 members of Congress. Rick Perry, 13. Newt, former Speaker of the House, just 7.
Wow.
Five of those are from Georgia.
Less than Rick Perry.
way less than Rick Perry for a former speaker. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. So the bottom line is they haven't made up their mind. I mean, that's certainly not all of Congress. Clearly, a lot of people haven't made up their minds.
There are a lot of people to be convinced. Look, Newt Gingrich is climbing in the polls. There's got to be a bottom line for Newt here. I think Jeff Flake, another conservative of Arizona, summed it up best. Now, keep in mind, he's a Romney supporter, but he's been talking to a lot of his colleagues about Newt, and here's what he had to say.
There's concern, but I think that a lot of that comes out, you know, in a campaign, and there's still time for these candidates to be vetted. That spotlight is pretty strong on the front runner, and I think that Newt will find that this month.
That sounds like he's predicting that as soon as Newt becomes a front runner, that you know he may decline.
Well, Newt is the front runner in Iowa. He leads handily, and in South Carolina, Celeste, he's leading by pretty wide margins in both of those places. Mitt Romney remains ahead in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Newt was in Washington yesterday and was at a seafood restaurant last night for a fundraiser. I know that many members of Congress were attending that and were expecting to be lobbied for their endorsements. So maybe a couple more Newt endorsements from members of Congress coming in the next couple of days. But the spotlight intensifies, and Jeff Flake is right. When you're the front runner, people ask these kind of questions, then your old leadership comes back into light. That's what's happening with
Newt. And in fact, a lot of members of Congress wait to give an endorsement until it's already kind of a foregone conclusion who's going to take the nomination.
And some never do at all.
That's right. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.